Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's for our service of Holy Communion on this, the birth of St. John the Baptist. It's good to see you on this lovely, bright, warm, sunny morning. And we do welcome visitors in particular who are joining us, especially Angela and Jackie Kuwait, who are joining us today with their family to celebrate their Ruby wedding anniversary. They were married here in St. Columba's 40 years ago today, and we do wish them, together with their families, every blessing on this most significant of occasions. If you would like to place your church roof appeal envelope on the collection plate this morning, you are most welcome so to do, and thank you to those who have already supported this appeal so generously. You see in the Pew News that we are welcoming three new chalice administrators who have been appointed by the bishop to assist with our Holy Communion services, and I'm delighted that Josephine Kelly, Murray Hunter, and John MacPherson have all kindly agreed to help us in this very significant way at our services going forward. They will join the existing chalice administrators on the rota. I do thank Jill Armstrong for all her hard work in coordinating that rota, which does help us enormously with the administration of Holy Communion. So do please remember Josephine, Murray, and John in your prayers during these days, weeks, and months, and do support them when you see them here in church. I want to thank Dr. Joe McKee, together with members of the choir and the visiting members of the choir, and Nigel McClintock, who played the organ at the choir summer recital on Friday evening. It was a most inspirational evening and a great delight to welcome so many people to our church for that recital, many of whom were visitors from the community, some of which had never been in St. Columba's before. And it really was a most uplifting evening. And I also thank the catering committee for all of their hard work in organising and serving the wonderful refreshments, which everyone enjoyed for quite a long time after the recital ended. Really was a magnificent occasion, and thank you to all for your support and for your encouragement on that day. Next Sunday, we are going to Rathlin Island, and those who are going are very simply asked to book their own seats and please use the telephone line for the ferry and not the website. The ferry will leave at 10 a.m. from Ballycastle, returning back on the 5:30 ferry, and we will be taking the service in St. Thomas's Church, Rathlin Island, at 11:30. Those going, simply ask to be in Ballycastle around 20 to 10 at the latest. Bring your own picnics, and the day will be very relaxed and very informal. And I understand the weather forecast will be good for next Sunday, especially not very windy, which is, of course, even more important than warm weather for the crossing. So do please, if you want to go, phone the ferry office and book your places. And those who are not going, there will be services here in St. Columba's throughout the day at the usual times, 8:15, 10:30, and 7. We observe now a few moments' silence.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Appointed prayer for this day. Almighty God, by whose providence your servant John the Baptist was wonderfully born and sent to prepare the way of your Son, our Saviour, by the preaching of repentance, lead us to repent according to his preaching and, after his example, constantly to speak the truth, boldly to rebuke vice, and patiently to suffer for the truth's sake. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please sit.
Paul and Barnabas have traveled from Cyprus to Galatia, Invited to speak to the Jews there, Paul proclaimed Jesus their Messiah. Throughout history, God has prepared his people, and lastly came John, pointing them to Jesus. The epistle is from Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse 14b. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the officials of the synagogue sent them a message saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, give it." So Paul stood up and with a gesture began to speak. "You Israelites and others who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our ancestors and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with uplifted arm he led them out of it. For about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. After he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance for about 450 years. After that, he gave them judges until the time of the prophet Samuel. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. When he had removed him, he made David their king. In his testimony about him, he said, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my heart, who will carry out all my wishes. Of this man's posterity, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had already proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his work, he said, "What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but the one is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of the sandals on his feet. My brothers, you descendants of Abraham's family, and others who fear God, to us the message of this salvation has been sent." This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah. son born to Zechariah and Elizabeth in their old age is named John, which means God is gracious. It will be John's prophetic calling to prepare people for the coming of the Son of God. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbours and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he's to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbours, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed, the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. On this day, we celebrate the birth of St. John the Baptist. It's not often that we focus on saints at Sunday services. Normally, we observe them on the Thursday morning Holy Communion service in the side chapel. But today, we have an opportunity to look at John the Baptist. We know him of old. He's one of those great characters that we associate with the penitential season of Advent. And so today we are going to look just in part at some aspects of John's life, work, and ministry, and to see how we can be influenced for the good by the sort of person that he was and where he attached his values. John was a man who did not mince his words. He got straight to the point. There were no back doors with John the Baptist. And for that, I quite like him. He doesn't hang around. He doesn't waste time. There's a job to do. Get on with it and do it. If only we could be more like that. How often we can have good intentions to do all sorts of things, and the list seems to get ever longer and not shorter because we are perhaps procrastinating or we are reflecting, and the reflecting seems to go on for an eternity. But John the Baptist gets in there. So often when you're trying to launch a new product or you're trying to introduce a new way of going, so much hard work and effort and focus is put into what we call marketing. You come up with a strategy. You may, if you are in business, bring in one of those professional companies who will advise you on X, Y, and Z. Image is so important. The choice of words is vital. How are you going to connect with the consumer? How are you going to connect with the individual? What approach are you going to take? Now, John the Baptist didn't have a PR consultancy firm working alongside him. He simply had to set to it and do it. And that's exactly what he did. But the pressure he was under was this. He was trying to prepare people for the coming of Christ. He needed people to repent of their sins, to turn their focus around, and to be ready to receive Christ. In many ways, what he was doing himself out of a job. He was writing his own P45 as he went about his work, because he was preparing the way for someone who is going to be so much greater coming after him, and then he was going to slip off the stage, as it were. And that is something that is really hard to do. Many of us, I'm sure, have had the opportunity in a working environment of acting up into a particular role, perhaps through a retirement, or through a redundancy, or through ill health, and you are put into a role temporarily until that position is subsequently filled. If you are not that person who is going to be appointed, you then revert back to the role that you were in before. And those of us who have been in that situation know that is not an easy situation to be in. But John the Baptist was humble in every aspect of his life and work. His focus was on God and trying to encourage people to be more like God and to be ready for Jesus. So pride didn't enter the equation. And so his time was short. And so he gets in there and he calls the people who are amongst him, "You brood of vipers." Not quite the language you would use if you were trying to encourage people to come alongside and to be part of what it is you're trying to do. So often you want to try to use words that will connect, words that will encourage growth and development, and words that will encourage people to be part of what it is you are about. To be upfront, to be very abrasive and direct, doesn't perhaps win friends over easily. But John the Baptist was passionate in his work. He was passionate in his ministry, and he knew he hadn't a moment to waste. Jesus was coming, and he had to turn the situation around in people's hearts to get them to be ready for Christ. Yes, there was a lot of hard talk with John the Baptist, but there also was a lot of positive talk about John the Baptist. He earned respect from his listeners. They recognized what he was doing. And he always took the emphasis off himself. "This," he said, "is not about me. It cannot be about me. I want you to be ready for Jesus, and then I am going to withdraw. Jesus is going to be there." And he says, as he says so very clearly, "I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." John saw himself simply as a forerunner, pointing the way forward for the coming of Christ. It's quite refreshing, isn't it, for us to hear about this wonderful Advent character as we are about to approach our summer holidays. Because John the Baptist gets us, if you will, to reset our priorities, and perhaps there will be opportunities over the coming weeks when we're not just on that treadmill that seems to be going faster and faster as holidays will be on the horizon. An opportunity to reflect on some of those aspects of faith that John the Baptist was referring to. Key among them was repentance. Key among them was saying sorry. And key among them was having a love of neighbor and a love of the individual, albeit done in rather direct terms. And when we think of that word repentance, all sorts of buzzwords come into our minds. Because what it is that we are about in saying repentance is saying sorry and also offering forgiveness where forgiveness has to be offered. And that can be difficult, and that can be challenging, and that can be hard. But that's exactly what John the Baptist was trying to encourage. Because as we look at our Christian faith, isn't repentance right at the heart of the cross? When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we might be forgiven. And here comes the crunch. And here comes the aspect of reflection. And perhaps over the summer months there will be opportunity. As we receive the forgiveness of Christ from the cross, as John the Baptist preached repentance to all those who were expecting Christ to come, how good are we at sharing that repentance and that sense of forgiveness one with another? Hence the crunch. Because we can be so good on words, but not so good perhaps on the action. And this is where the humility of John the Baptist enters into that equation of what he was about. He was directing and encouraging by what he said and by what he did. And then, having done all that he could do, had the way set for the coming of Christ, who was going to come and lead people forward in faith. And that journey was going to take Christ to the cross. And that cross was there for us all. But there is an aspect of John the Baptist that I think is particularly refreshing. And it is this. John was preaching to all the people, trying to prepare people for the coming of Christ. Notice the word all. Not splits, not divisions, not schisms, not breakaways, but all. And that is where our life and work and ministry here in St. Columba's is so fundamentally important, as we endeavour to connect through an open door with the community. Each and every one welcome. And we demonstrate that in so many different ways, not least through the magnificent choir recital which we all enjoyed on Friday evening, when there were so many visitors here from the community and beyond the community coming along to be part of what it is we do here in St. Columba's. Love of God and a love of neighbour. Connecting with the community. But the other aspect of John's ministry was to avoid distractions. And we can be distracted so easily, and we can go off on a siding or off on a tangent. John didn't get involved in distractions. Why? Because he simply didn't have the time. Time was short and time was precious. John also had a heavy emphasis on prayer, communication with God, seeking guidance and direction in hard and challenging times. God didn't let him down. As we move into July and August, there will be an opportunity perhaps for family time, I do hope so, an opportunity to reflect, an opportunity to enjoy other aspects of God's creation and to come back refreshed and all the better for it. John the Baptist gives us a wonderful example about priorities, a wonderful example about the important things. Those to whom he was speaking to listened. And those to whom he was speaking to were ready for the coming of Christ. Now, what's our response? May it be positive. May it be direct. And may we always make ready for Christ by what we say and by what we do. And may we glorify his name in our words and in our actions. And may we put Christ first. That's what John did. What an example to hear as we embark on holidays. And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be ascribed is most justly due, all might, majesty, glory, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We are using the intercessions on page 238 in the prayer book and 151 in the large book. Let us pray. On this fourth Sunday after Trinity, as on all days, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. As we remember your servant, John the Baptist, whom we know was brave, passionate, and different, be with all those who proclaim their faith in the face of persecution, and with those who have to leave their homes and travel abroad in search of peace and security. We think of our clergy who, like John the Baptist and under our Bishop Harold, have a passion for teaching the Christian faith and preaching the gospel. We thank you for our rector, John, who leads us with his boundless enthusiasm, and all the clergy and leaders in this parish. In the diocesan cycle of prayer, we think of the parish of Dromore Cathedral, whose rector is Dean Jeff Wilson. In the Anglican cycle of prayer, we pray for the Anglican Church in Nigeria. In our parish, we thank you that Josephine Kelly, Murray Hunter, and John McPherson will be ably assisting with our Holy Communion services. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. Guide our rulers that they may not sway with the tide as Herod did, or do the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, who has so many momentous anniversaries to celebrate with the passing years. We remember before you all celebrating special days and anniversaries, and we think especially of Angela and Jackie Quaite celebrating their Ruby wedding anniversary with us this morning. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, your cousin John prepared the way for your coming and played a significant part in your baptism at the River Jordan. We thank you for our families, close by or far off, and those gone before us to another shore whose lives have influenced us so much. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves and to serve our friends, our colleagues, and our families, loving them as you have loved us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, thank you for encouraging those with the gifts of healing to relieve the sick and suffering of body, mind, and spirit, knowing that they do the work of your hands and feet here on earth. We thank you for the gift of music and for musicians who so often soothe a troubled breast or uplift the weary soul. Lord of eternity, we thank you for those who had the wisdom to choose our parish prayer, written in the 17th century, yet still so relevant today. In it, we proclaim that the door of our church is wide enough to welcome all who have need of human love, fellowship, and a father's care. Have pity on those whose love for their fellow man is limited by personal narrowness and bitterness. Allow our church doors to shut out all envy, pride, and hatred. May we not be judgmental or arrogant, but offer a welcome into this our church family, sincerely and from our hearts. Grant that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole lives to you, Lord God, and come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Please stand. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. We share that peace. yours the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate.
Father Almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. In the saints, you have given us an example of godly living, that rejoicing in their fellowship, we may run with perseverance the race that is set before us, and with them receive the unfading crown of glory. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Father, the creator and sustainer of all things, you made us in your own image, male and female you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue, a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, whose prophet John the Baptist proclaimed your Son as the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant that we who in this sacrament have known your forgiveness and your life-giving love may ever tell of your mercy and your peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for giving us the Savior of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. God give you grace to share the inheritance of John the Baptist and of his saints in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you on this day and always.